Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your Rosary on the Road. I hope you all had a blessed Sunday and a great weekend. I didn't have any intentions left in the inbox, but I do have some intentions of people approaching me with intentions. We've got at least one big one. We've got a whole mess of people from my parish that will be going on a major retreat this upcoming Tuesday. They're traveling across country, which is a difficult thing. It's a difficult proposition right now for really anybody. It has been for the past 2 years, but it's a particularly difficult proposition when you have a large Catholic church group traveling all at once across country. I don't think they're flying. I think that they're driving. I hope they're driving. Flight would be quite difficult for them. But I want to pray for them and their safe travels. They're heading out this afternoon, I believe. They may be heading out tomorrow morning, but whatever the case may be, they'll be gone by the time I record the next Daily Decad, so I wanted to make sure I got them in on this one. If you have any intentions, safe delivery, safe travel, it's your birthday, it really doesn't matter. Any intentions at all, send them in to dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. And it will be my pleasure to, and really my reparation, act of reparation for me, to pray for you and to pray for you and add your intention to my daily rosary and to ask everyone in the audience here to pray for you so that you've got all of our help, and it gives us an opportunity to offer a petition, which is a big deal. As I say every week, I'm sure that everyone who listens to this on a regular basis is sick of hearing me say that. I've drilled it into everybody's heads at this point. I hope you forgive me. I always do it on the assumption that I'm going to have a new listener, someone who's never heard it before, and could use the reminder that that's what prayer is. That's why we ask God in petitions. But don't take my word for it. You can look it up in the, I think it's actually in the Catechism. At any rate, let's go ahead. We'll pray. Send in your intentions. For now, we're going to pray for that group that's going on retreat tomorrow morning, traveling across country to do that. And let's see, today is Monday, so we'll be praying in Latin. So get your rosaries, and let's turn our hearts and our minds to God. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostri, salve. Ad te clamamus, exulis filia evi. Ad te suspiramus, gementes afflentes, in hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuas misericordias oculos ad nos converte, et Iesum, beatum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium estende. O clemens, o pia, dulce Virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut digni officiamur commissionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Christopher, well-established patron of travelers, who watches all the roads and carried even our blessed Lord to safety, so as it appeared. Saint Christopher, we ask thy intercession on behalf of these travelers, the servants of God, who seek to grow closer to him. May they find safe delivery in their travels, and may their retreats be successful and bring them closer to our Lord, that they may return carrying him as thou didst carry him, and that they may be carried in turn to their heavenly Father, to our heavenly Father, where our Lord Jesus Christ liveth and reigneth in union with the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our daily struggles in our travel through life, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miseri nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miseri nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, veniat regnum tuum. In nomine Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, we've just started the seventh week of Pentecost on the Catholic calendar. I know that the Eastern Catholics and the Orthodox are a little bit behind in that regard, but either way, we're in a period of time that's sort of in between time. In the Novus Ordo, they call it ordinary time, which I really find to be a terrible misnomer, because people don't really understand what it means. That ordinary means something very different in common English. What it means is it's ordinal. The time is part of the calendar. It's this in between time between the great feasts. it's not meant to be mundane or simple time, you know, otherwise you can ignore it time. Although that is the impression I think that even most priests give of the Novus Ordo, at least in my experience. And it's really too bad, because this period in the church year is just absolutely full of wonderful surprises in the scripture readings and in the homilies that we hear. It allows the priest to sort of venture outward into various parts of the faith that he might not otherwise touch on, especially around Easter and Christmas time, or around Pentecost, or All Saints. You know, certain feasts, they sort of dictate what you need to talk about. And when we're in this period, this time after Pentecost, just like the time after Epiphany, the time after Pentecost is a time to fill in all those gaps. It's a time to fulfill what Pentecost is supposed to be, which is the coming of the Holy Ghost upon the church, which enlivens the church, fills it with the Spirit of God, and gives it direction. And so the Church of God now has a sense of what God desires, what God wills, because we have the Holy Ghost, particularly in the sacrament of confirmation. But just being part of the church, we have access to the Holy Ghost in a way that the Hebrews and certainly the Jews of Christ's time, well, of the time of the Incarnation, I should say, all time belongs to Christ, but they did not have the same access to the Spirit as we have in the wake of Pentecost. So this time after Pentecost is a time to fill in some of the knowledge that should accompany the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And it really is a wonderful time for that. I heard a couple of very good homilies this past Sunday. I have to listen to Bishop Dolan. I haven't listened to him yet, but I always look forward to his homilies. They're always quite good. But there was a sort of overriding theme that seemed to have dominated this weekend and I thought would make for good reflection. And that is, in this period, as we're moving through the rest of the year, the question of judgment. And I don't mean the final judgment. I don't mean particular judgment. I mean judgment, lowercase j, our ability to discern, discriminate, judge, is something that I think we don't as readily reflect on. Our enemies frequently talk about it. Don't judge me. Only God can judge me. I knew a woman once who is Protestant. Had said, you know, she heard someone say, only God can judge me. Her response was, that should terrify you. And she's right. Saint Isaac the Syrian, although it may in fact be Saint Ephraim, but I'm fairly certain it's Saint Isaac the Syrian, wrote, do not speak of God's judgment. It is so far beyond you. Think instead only on his mercy. And a lot of other church fathers, particularly the Desert Fathers, have similar things to say. God's judgment is so profound, so transcendent, so separate from everything that informs us as fallen humans that it's impossible to even conceive of it. So we must focus instead on what we can ascertain and judge here in this life. And Christ does instruct us, judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And the reading this past Sunday on the subject of good trees give forth good fruit, there will be many false Christs and false prophets. Avoid false prophets, for men do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles. It's not the same passage where he says, judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. But it is, I think, an accompaniment. The teaching accompanies that teaching. That we are called to seek out good fruit. Now, I'm not going to just repeat. That's one of the sermons I heard this Sunday. And I'm not just going to repeat that sermon. But the subject of judging righteous judgment, it's kind of sort of struck home for me. On a couple of the weeks previous, I've talked about how I've been struggling with this or that. I haven't been having a hard time saying my rosary and struggling through all of it. For some reason, the thought of the demonic never occurred to me. I don't know why that is. It's certainly something that we've talked about here before, but it never hit me. And it took my wife sitting down and telling my wife, I don't know what's happening to me. I'm having trouble saying the daily decad. I'm having trouble saying my rosary. I'm angry all the time. I just don't know what's going on. And my wife, who sort of doubles as a secondary confessor in a lot of ways, I mean, not that she listens to me, that's all. As any good wife, I think, would listen to her husband, deal with his problems. She had said, you know, it sounds to me like you're just under demonic attack. And for some reason, I'd never thought of it, and it just clicked. That's what it is. And I was able to go to Mass on Sunday and kind of clear all of it up. Spent a lot of time prior to Mass saying very specific prayers to clear that all out. But it was a wonderful example of how I wasn't judging properly. I was looking at all these externals. You know, the AC in my car is broke. I've got a lot more work at work. We've got a lot going on around the house. Everything that's going on in the world. I was looking at all these externals. I wasn't judging righteous judgment. Because righteous judgment is the attempt, the effort, to unify our judgment, our ability to perceive, with the Spirit of God. It's not to unify ourselves with God's judgment. We can't do that. God's judgment is beyond us. But it is possible for us to seek the Spirit, to seek the Holy Ghost and His inspiration, and to judge according to His inspiration. If we allow Him to guide us, that requires a certain degree of self-emptying. And to judge righteous judgment, we will see how we are afflicted, because as it said, we do battle with principalities and powers, not merely other human beings or forces of nature, but angelic, fallen and twisted angelic powers do battle with us. And God has lent us good and true angelic powers to aid us in this fight. But we can never lose sight of the fact that we are engaged in a constant struggle. And it was so funny to me. I talked about spiritual combat last week so much, and yet I didn't put two and two together. And it goes to show, even if you're thinking about it, you can still rather miss the trees for the forest, I think, if you're not judging righteously. If you're not judging righteous judgment, you're judging by outward appearance only. And it really is an object lesson in the importance of meditative prayer, which I was not doing. I was struggling with the rosary, so that's the one form of meditative prayer that I normally do. And I was having a hard time with that. But before Mass, I was focused entirely on the discipline of my children and not at all on the Mass itself. And so the meditative prayer that really should precede the Mass, because when you're in church, before the liturgy begins, and this is true of any liturgy, not just the Mass, but the Divine Liturgy, any service, any liturgical action that you are about to engage in, the ideal place to do meditative prayer is before you begin a liturgical act. It's when you're in the sanctuary, when you're in the nave of the church, and you are in the presence of God. That's the ideal time for meditative prayer. I wasn't doing it. And it underlines how important it is to have that. It also underlines how important it is to keep in mind always the supernatural around you. Keep in mind always that we do live in a supernatural world. The moderns would have us believe that everything is natural, everything's psychological, everything has an explanation. And they lose the wisdom that even the bard had. Put in the mouth of Hamlet, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in thy philosophy." That was in the air in that day and age. People breathed the supernatural. Nowadays, we have to go looking for it. have to, it's on the shelves for purchase, so to speak. But you can't get it just anywhere. Maybe a better way of thinking of it is the way water is. Water used to be able to, get water anywhere. It just had a spring. Nowadays, everything is piped and irrigated and controlled by the city, filled with fluoride. Getting clean, clear, fresh water is something that you have to do deliberately. And the supernatural is the same way. It's been watered down. It's been chemically altered. It's been piped out to us so that all of our knowledge is treated in a way by the experts that know what they're doing. And so access to the spirit and access to the supernatural is something that you have to look for deliberately. You have to go out and seek it. You're not going to get it on your own. And you have to seek it in the old books, in the church fathers. People talk about all these people that are writing books now, and you know, Taylor Marshall has 500,000 of them, and you have all these books that are featured on LifeSite and Church Bulletin and all these other sites. Why bother? None of them have anything to offer that hasn't already been offered better by earlier authors. So go and read the church fathers instead. Read the great saints. There's popes that have published books. And I don't mean Ratzinger's vast theological library, Cardinal Ratzinger's vast theological library. I mean early popes. In the East, St. Gregory the Great's referred to as St. Gregory the Dialogist because he had these beautiful dialogues. One of the most important texts of the early councils was the Tome of Leo, that St. Leo, Pope St. Leo the Great. We have all these wonderful texts out there to read, and people instead waste their time on books like Infiltration. That's not judging righteous judgment. If you want to learn how to judge righteous judgment, though, go back to the saints. I'm finishing up St. Louis de Montfort's Secret of the Rosary now, and I'll be moving on, I think, to the Confessions next. Although I'm going to be consulting with my priest and confessor to revisit some of Meister Eckhart's writings. If you're not familiar with him, you can get a pretty good glance at him. You can look him up in Catholic Encyclopedia. Or honestly, even his Wikipedia page is not that bad, and I don't generally recommend Wikipedia to anybody. But there's some good information that you can at least gather from him on there. That's Meister Eckhart von Hochheim. And I was thinking about revisiting him, but honestly, I probably should put him aside and go back and read the Summa again. It's been a while since I did. Or even earlier than that, read some of St. Bernard's writings. His preaching is extensive. And there's no one quite as wonderful as St. Bernard. Putting aside his condemnation of the Immaculate Conception, which he could do at that time, it was still a very much an open question and a new idea in many ways. Was a feast dedicated to the conception of the Blessed Mother, but it was an Eastern feast. It wasn't very well known in the West, and it's really no surprise that he should have mistaken the doctrine. But his other stuff, especially In Praise of the New Knighthood, was very, very solid. Listen to me saying that about a saint. I don't mean to put myself in a position where I can judge saints, but you get the point. Read. These men have seen their way clear to God. They have judged righteous judgment. The saints have. And going to them to learn how to judge righteous judgment is, well, it's the essence of getting it right. When on Pentecost, the apostles received the Holy Ghost, everybody went and listened to them. And they did what they said. They looked for command. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And so they gave them direction. Do penance, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's what St. Peter tells everybody to do. And they all do it. They all follow his command. And that's what we have to do as well. If we want to judge righteous judgment, we go to the elders of our faith. And the elders of our faith, for us, we're not like the Hebrews, where we go to the Pharisees and scribes, and they are our elders, the ancients. No, we can go to an inexhaustible library of elders of the faith going back 2,000 years to the very beginning of the faith itself, starting with St. Clement, with St. Ignatius, the letters and the scriptures. These are the elders of the faith, and they can teach us to judge righteous judgments so that we don't get lost in externals. We don't get lost looking at worldly causes for our troubles, but we judge righteous judgment. And my prayer today is that all of us will have the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to choose correctly from those that we read, that we shall be filled with the same spirit that inspired the authors of these wonderful texts, the church fathers, various doctors of the church, the great mystic saints, from the ancient times 2,000 years ago to the Middle Ages to those that did combat with more recent errors and heresies. And that we, being inspired by the same spirit, shall read with good judgment and learn good judgment, that we might judge righteous judgment and better unify ourselves to God, who shall be our judge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.